really miss that intro music. I haven't heard it in a while. We're back, bitches.
We're back. And you can't get rid of us.
Back from our slumber.
Did you miss us?
Our hiatus.
Did you miss me?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Talking to me?
Yeah.
I've seen you since me. Since our live.
This is the first time
live show?
Yeah, since our live show. That was which was a while ago.
3 weeks ago, right? 3 weeks.
So we had a live show, and we've put obviously the episode out from it. So we hope you listen to it. If not, go back and check it out. It's the shortest episode we put out because we had an actual like time limit on the live show, which was, and we were like right on it. It was like boom, 30 minutes, we were done, right?
Yeah,
but
it was fun.
It was good. It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a different energy.
It was, but it was really cool doing that. I'm really glad we did. I'm looking forward to doing more of those.
Remember you were complaining the whole time? How we didn't have a lot.
I'm a full house. We're not going to talk about that. As you say, the show must go on.
I didn't say it.
Yeah.
That's just a saying.
But right. So, yeah, I think it was a good learning experience because I think it definitely brought out kind of like a new energy while we were doing it. It's interesting having people staring at you and looking at you and like you can see their faces while you're talking. It's like.
And then reacting to it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
To them and they reacting to you.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish
yeah.
we could do that on a normal basis.
Sure. Because my reactions when you tell jokes are probably like this, like,
No.
Just kidding.
90% of the time you laugh like that.
I'm laughing like that. I just laughed at myself, though, as I usually do, because I'm like,
yeah.
That's just what I do. It's not because I'm narcissistic. It's because I...
You definitely are, though.
No, I'm not. It's because I get like awkwardly, I don't know, what's the word? Huh?
What? I don't know.
Like when I said, somebody said something like, it's a little crowd in our live show. And then I cracked the joke. I cracked the joke of like, it's
okay.
This
show is bombing.
No, listen,
right now.
I said it's an audience of little people. And I saw someone's facial reaction. It was like,
Dan.
Don't. It was, like, don't. And I'm like, and I just started laughing hysterically because I was like, awkward. And I didn't know if that was, I was like, I didn't mean that to be offensive. I was making a joke. I was picking up on the little, it's a little crowd, you know?
Right.
But oh my God. And I just started
dying.
You didn't
get the other meaning. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was funny. It was funny. But
so we have been on hiatus, so we hope that you didn't abandon us. We hope that you're listening right now. You
or that
all
you're,
of you.
Yeah, and that you're happy that we're back.
I'm happy that we're back.
Me too.
But we have been busy.
A lot of things happen.
A lot of things
between
happen.
Us. Like
we've just been busy. We've been busy. It's a summertime, right? So we
it's fucking summertime in here right now. And I apologize.
I'm sweating my fucking ass off right now.
Loft gets hot. even with the AC and fans going.
Right.
Nest gets hot.
Don't you make decent money? Can we turn your fucking AC down? I mean, what the fuck?
It's like in 70, 69, 70 right now.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. And it gets, and because we're on the second floor.
Uh-huh.
And
I know. Heat rises.
Heat rises.
So what have we been busy with the past few weekends?
I've been playing a lot of video games.
You've been playing a lot of video games? Okay. I've
My
been...
PlayStation, yeah.
You know what I've been doing? You know, because I've been texting you, and you're like, how... far behind in life are you right now? I've been finally catching up on
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're welcome. I'm finally joining the club. I can't. I'm just like
after years of resistance.
And that's the thing you keep saying, resistance. It was purely
it's
just
absolutely.
Got away from me.
I know.
No, it just got away from me. And then I was like a year three, I was like, well, I'm three seasons behind. And everybody's like, you got to get into it. I'm like, well, now
I say
four
resistance
seasons behind.
Because I wouldn't say beg, pled with you to just start watching it.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, it's too far. Like, there's too much to do. You know, whatever it was. Like,
right.
The train has left the station.
It
whatever
did. It well, and here's the thing, too. I must admit, I'm a complete and utter horror lover, but I've never really been like
horrified. What?
But I've never been a complete an utter sci-fi or fantasy lover. I'll say fantasy, right? And so like Star Wars, things like that, some people are going to be like, you're crazy, but it's just not my thing. It's not my thing. And the only D I ever got in life was when I was in middle school literature class or whatever, language class, and I had to read The fucking Hobbit. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever read in my entire life. And I got a D. I was a straight A student. Like, I got a fucking D.
You know, we're losing Hobbit. Fans as you're talking
know,
right
I
now.
I said, people are going to be like, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. And I know I am. But there's something wrong with my brain. I can't wrap my brain around worlds that people create with, you know, as you were talking about earlier, like religions behind it. And people have built family trees of, you know, all of these different species and names that I don't know if it's because I have a hard time kind of remembering all the different names, but let me just tell you, I'm very proud. I fucking get Game of Thrones. And also, I think it's because I really like historical shows and period pieces. And so I know this is all fantasy, but the fact that every single family or, you know, family line or whatever, it, you know, it feels like it's the medieval times here and it feels like it's ancient Egypt here and it feels like this, I'm into it. And I have all of the shit down. Like Jeff, who usually...
You don't have the names down.
Yes, I do.
What did you call Brienne yesterday?
Okay, I could not remember Brienne's name, but...
that half woman, half
That's
not
what I
man
said.
Chick.
I said Jamie Lannister's woman soldier chick or something like that. And you're like, it's Brienne. Get the name right. I'm like, sorry. But I'm like schooling Jeff. Jeff keeps getting confused. And I'm like, no, this, that, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm way into
for
it.
For me, I was like, damn, these all these white people look the same. I don't know their names. I'm having a difficult time.
I know. There's one black dude, right? The pirate.
Yeah. You're going so many episodes back.
Sorry. Okay, so just so everyone knows, don't give me any spoilers. I'm about to watch the finale of season 4 whenever I get home or tomorrow.
When it aired, like 2012. I
know. What the hell? Do you know how,
when RG3 was playing football?
I've been trying so hard over the years, though, to not listen to y'all or anybody when you talk about the show. So luckily, I really don't think I know of anybody who dies before I know. So again, don't spoil the shit for me, but I want to be surprised. I was trying really hard to speed up before it comes out this weekend, but it's not going to happen.
Khaleesi dies.
You have been doing this to me. You keep telling me everyone dies. Stop doing that to me. Anyway, so I've been watching Game of Thrones pretty much every day.
I've been watching a lot of blockbuster movies.
Blockbuster?
Blockbuster movies. Like Spider-Man, Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You saw The Big Sick like you wanted to see?
Big Sick, The Baby Driver.
Was that good?
Mm-hmm. It was good. It was, as you know, I like musicals.
Yeah.
Right. I expected, because going in, I was told that, like, oh, the action scene goes along with the beat of the music, right? That's the shtick of the action movie. It didn't need that shtick, but like the movie was good.
Okay.
But that was the thing that all people talked about. So when I went to see it, I expected like every bullet to be like dun, 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 going with the music, and it was like not really. It like some scenes did it, but yeah. Then I expected to like they break out into like musical number. And like it didn't do that. It was so subtle. Like had I not known that going in, I wouldn't have even picked it up. Right.
Right.
So, or I would have thought that it was a mistake or whatever.
Right.
But they didn't. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, some amazing driving scenes.
Really?
Too. Yeah.
Is it better than Drive?
Yes, I think so. Because okay, here's what I think: Drive was more style over substance. Like story was.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah, but it was more of like. At the movie, it carried this like coolness, right?
Totally.
Yeah, and a like, Joe Cool type of thing. Remember Joe Cool, the camel.
Yes.
And so like, and everyone was like, "Oh man, that movie was so cool because it looked this way, it made me feel this way." But
yeah.
Story wise, it was like okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like.
Didn't it also bring back amazing. Like 80s synth music?
Just the intro, right?
Yeah, but I remember like I had
what was
the,
that called like Night something. Well, intro. I can't remember the single. It was a good song. It's like a
Night.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hold on, wait. There's a Kaczynski.
You know you're listening to a one final scare episode where we're sending.
We
a,
don't
what,
know.
What is that called?
Well, no, there's a Kaczynski. Is it Kaczynski? Oh my god, am I making?
Okay.
I think there's a Kaczynski song that I got stuck on after that movie came out, and then I was like only listening to 80s synth pop sounds and like no speaking. It was just like. I don't know. That movie blew that up for me. Anyway, speaking of musicals, I went and saw Book of Mormon in New York. So that was another thing. I was in New York for a while for work.
I want to see that.
Huh?
I'm jealous. I want to see it with the original cast.
Oh my God. Let me just tell you how good it was.
I'm telling you, Matt and Trey.
Holy.
Wait, is that right? Yeah.
Who's Matt and Trey? Oh God, I'm sorry. Who is that?
They're the one who wrote Book of Mormon.
Oh, okay.
The
creators
of South Park.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God.
Sorry. It was so amazing. People listening to me, go to New York right now. Go buy tickets. Go stand in that half ticket line or half price ticket line if you need to. But like go, just go. Oh,
the one in Times Square?
There's two. There's one in Times Square and then there's one on the waterfront. That one, go to that one because there's less people there. Just take a cab down and go get tickets. I had to buy the ticket online, but it was so freaking amazing. I was so into it. I can't stop thinking about it. And then the other thing that we did was we made a movie. We talked about this, so I just want to bring it full circle. Mm-hmm. We made another short movie for a 48-hour film project. So mad props to the 48-hour film project.
You did.
I did more. I did more than you on this one. I did more than you on this one. This was our third year doing it. And
one day doing VH1 behind the
music. Behind the music. We'll get the real story of how it went down that night. You know, it was fine. It was good. But so anyway, we made another time travel movie, which was the genre we pulled in the first year. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know and you're interested in making short films, it's a cool one to get into. It's a cool film fest to get into or whatever you want to call it. It originated actually in D.C. By Mark Rupert and a couple of other people. And they've been the producers for the D.C. The Washington, D.C. 48-hour film project for many, many years. They just moved on, I think, to take on a more global role. But basically, it's a complete and utter global film project, which is really cool. And they created it many years ago, basically, because they were like, okay, you can make a movie. You can make a movie as long as it takes to make a movie. But what can people come up with in 48 hours? So it was the first kind of 48-hour, mm-hmm. I think, as far as I've mm-hmm. read in the about page. It was the first of its kind, and it kind of picked up, and it's huge. Like, some really amazing movies have been created all around the world, and I guess the winner of every city, not I guess, I know, the winner of every city kind of goes head-to-head in a Filmapalooza, and then the winners of that goes on to Cannes Film Festival, which is pretty cool. So if you're interested in making a movie and you've never done it before, it's a really good entree into getting into filmmaking or short filmmaking. And there's nothing quite like it. It's a sprint. You start on Friday night and you pull a genre out of the hat, and then you have some required elements. And then I think you start at 7 p.m. on Friday night and you have until 7 p.m. Sunday to turn in an entirely edited, done film. So it's,
are they paying you?
No, I'm just, you know, I'm like, hey,
it's time that we discuss.
We talk about films on the podcast. So I just, you know, if anybody out there is itching to make one, it is a cool one to join up. And most of the cities around the world participate. So check it out. And yes, mm-hmm. Actually, the showing is this Saturday. So mm-hmm. I'm going to that, and that'll be cool.
Yeah.
So wish us luck. My goal is to always make top 15 best of.
You gonna be okay if you don't?
I will not be okay if we don't. I'm just not.
Pop that cork. Did you make
Mickey's voting against us right now.
Joking.
Sucker. So anyway, and so next weekend though, not so this week, I'm sorry, this weekend is when the what?
Well, yeah.
This weekend the film show. Next weekend we're doing something cool.
We're going on to Williamsburg to a horror convention. Nerd alert.
Nerd alert. Bam, bam, bam.
That's not my nerd alert. So.
That was very nerdy. I love it. So Minky bought for my birthday and back in February tickets to this convention, which is super awesome. It's the greatest gift.
Is that when it was?
Yeah, it was for my birthday.
Oh, it's been in my book bag for like.
It's been in my book bag.
A ticket that I printed out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been in my book bag.
Oh, I guess I better print
months.
That out. So you, me, and my hubby are going down together to Williamsburg, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we just looked up the run of show or the events or the schedule or whatever, because we haven't really looked it up. It looks so fun.
Yeah.
It's called Scares That Care. And it's because it's a charity event, which is super cool. Who doesn't want to participate in something they love that also is doing something for good? So it is all for to raise money for, I think, childhood disease and illness. So they say, like, scaring away childhood disease and illness, fighting the real monsters of childhood illness, burns, and breast cancer by helping families that are experiencing these extraordinary hardships cope with their financial burdens. So if you're in the Virginia, D.C., Maryland area, I'm sure tickets are not sold out if you're interested. It looks like a lot of cool people from a lot of the horror movies are going to be there. There's going to be like a Friday the 13th reunion. There's some, oh my God, some of the actors from Children of the Corn that I only can picture as little kids. And now they're all grown up adults and I haven't really seen them ever since then. I was like, holy shit, that's what they look like now.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of cool actors there. There's going to be a lot of authors there who write for horror. And then the coolest thing,
podcasters.
There's going to be a ton of live podcasts, horror podcasts.
Yeah.
So we got to go check out.
I wish we had known.
But honestly, I want to go as a participant. I just want to go and
next year.
Like, I want to absorb and I want to experience it. And yeah, maybe next year. But there's so many. And so I just want to say, I don't see them as competitors at all. Like, I see them as opportunities to, like, meet people who peers. Do things that, yeah, peers. Yeah. So I'm really excited. There is, like, a networking event for the podcasters Friday. There on Friday, but we're not going until Saturday. We'll be there all day Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. So we'll be there in our shirts. Speaking of which, if you want one, go to redbubble.com. Check us out. Get a shirt. And
please.
And I'm really excited. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, when I first bought the tickets, I did it because it was the closest one.
Yeah. Because there was one in LA and there's always a bunch. There's always at least one in the Maryland or Baltimore area, but this one,
there's one in Philly as well.
There's usually one in like Hagerstown, I want to say, but I didn't find.
There was like, they were further down the calendar year, like in November, December, whatever it was.
Yeah.
October, obviously.
Yeah.
But so it was fairly close. Mm-hmm. It was in July and it was close. And at the time, like, they didn't have a lot of guest speakers on the website.
Yeah, because they didn't have,
like,
it
three
all
people.
Out.
Yeah. But now it's a really
legit.
All the Jason's gonna be there.
Yeah.
The guy from Reanimator is
gonna
be there.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the very first 99 Cent movie theater that I went to see, and I walked out to the arcade. Like, they used to have arcades where you, like, play arcade before you go watch the theater. I'll come out and I'll just be like, oh my God, it's so scary. And then I'll go back in and watch it again and then come back out. And I did that, like, all night.
Oh my god.
I was 9 years old. Give me a break.
That's pretty funny. There's also a whole film fest that they welcomed people to enter a film fest. So they're going to be showing films short. I don't know if they're all short films or what. I would assume so. I think, anyway. Unless I'm completely crazy, because now I'm scrolling down and Saturday I'm seeing things like The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari and like Carnival of Souls, which are real movies. So
you've seen that?
Oh, wait. Okay. So public. I've seen them both. Public domain and submissions. So they're showing movies throughout the day. Some of them are public domain movies. Some of them are submissions. I see. Okay. So essentially there was a film fest part of this too. So this looks pretty like a legit horror con. I'm very excited to go with you. And, so what we've decided is we'll film an episode probably Sunday morning.
We're gonna film an episode?
Oh, I mean, record. We'll record an episode. Actually, what we joked was the only reason why we invited my husband along so that he could be our, social media.
The guy who can slip in, oh my God, lay between you and me in the bed?
No.
Be that guard?
So weird.
It is weird. We got separate rooms, Joe.
Yeah, we got separate rooms. We have shared a hotel room before. My husband didn't care, but whatever. So anyway, he's coming along to hopefully take photos of us and post to our Instagram, Facebook.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
We were like, he'll be our little fake manager, right? Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, producer.
So, so check us out. Well, hopefully, we've been kind of slacking on posting to our social channels, so we'll be a lot better next weekend, hopefully.
Vacation. It was hiatus.
Vacation. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I didn't really go on vacation, but whatever. I'm looking forward to that. And thank you again for the birthday gift.
Of course. No problem.
So look forward to that episode. Tonight's episode, let's get to that.
The host.
Tonight's episode, though, before we talk about the movie itself, if you guys remember the episode that we released before our live show, was we talked about The Monster. And we talked about Minky.
Was it the
yeah.
monster?
Yeah,
was
yeah.
the monster?
And Minky was hating the whole time we watched it together on the monster itself in the movie and how bad the practical effects were.
Okay.
You know, the costume itself. So
as you were also.
I mean, what I said was, like, I think you
don't
hate.
Don't put me on an island by myself.
No. Yeah. What I said was, I certainly wasn't as fixated on it as you were, and that I think, like, your hatred, or not your hatred, you know what I'm saying, like your disdain for how bad it looked was kind of affecting
it took me
for sure.
It took me out, especially when the movie was called The Monster.
The Monster, right. Was, no, I know.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, like, yes, there was that scene where you could see the guy's arms. In the suit, but basically what happened was, if you didn't listen to the episode or if you have forgotten since it's been a while.
Well, wait, go ahead and listen to it and come back.
Yeah. Pause, listen, come back. We talked about, I made my very general statement, and we need to obviously go back and hit replay because we were just disagreeing on what we actually said. But the short of it is this. I made a very blanket statement that I hate CGI in horror for, mm-hmm. for like creating a monster or whatever, that they all suck. And I think you pretty much were like, you can't say that. And I was like, I can definitely say
in
that.
In the future, right.
Well, but I didn't say that. I was like, they all suck now. And you kind of were like, but they don't. And I said, then give me an example. And then you kind of were saying, well, you're not going to be able to say that forever. Like in the mm-hmm. future, it's going to get better. But I challenged you to give me a movie where the CGI was really good, where that didn't take me out of the movie. So to your point, the practical effects and the bad costume, the ridiculousness of mm-hmm. a guy in a costume took you out of the movie. To me, CGI does that. Mm-hmm. So I talked about, like, I Am Legend. It's not
which
a
I agree. Like, I just, okay.
Or
just
the wolves and the day yeah. after tomorrow. That
just to
killed
clarify,
me.
Like, I agree with Tracy, most part. Like, practical effects right now is superior to a lot of the CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this conversation with a friend of mine about this exact topic. And because the studios can make so much more money by spending so little on horror films, they don't spend like $300 million like they spend on Transformers, right?
Right?
And the effects are amazing,
right?
Because they're so expensive, right? Horror films, a lot of the time, I don't even think the budget-wise, I don't even think they break $25 million.
Yeah.
They really do. Like, they're small films. But because people go see them, like teenagers and horror films, there's genre film goers, it makes that money back.
Yeah.
Like, twice fold sometimes, you know.
Sure.
So they crank these out with, you know, bad special effects. Because they don't care. Because as long as they put jump scares in there or whatever, mm-hmm. people will come and watch them. So my point was that, yes, I agree with you. Like, practical effects, so much better
mm-hmm.
in the horror genre mm-hmm. than CGI. But that statement, you'll eventually have to change, because whereas practical effects don't have a lot of room to grow, CGI has all the room. You know what I mean? Like, it can get so much better, realistic. It just, mm-hmm. there's only room to get better.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And cheaper. And
no,
cheaper,
I know.
Right?
And I mean, I used to do... when I was in college, I was kind of like double majoring in graphic design and then 3D animation. And my professor, he published a lot of 3D animation modeling books and how to do 3D. And he was actually, I might cite this wrong, but he was working with like the FBI. He was doing trainings with like the FBI or something to like,
what?
I guess because, okay, well, long story short, 3D animation, even, you know, the world of gaming and all of that. I mean, we can create faces, like a model of a face that looks so real, where people are creating fake IDs or whatever, that he had to train them on how to spot a fake ID from a real ID, like fake
sure.
pictures from real pictures.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I was like, okay, like we've come far away, but like, really, is it? Can you really not spot the difference? Because I felt like you could,
so
but I guess
so,
not.
So the underlying tone here is that you've always been a skeptic.
I'm totally a skeptic. No, I'm totally a skeptic that it's ever going to be so amazing that if I'm watching a movie, I believe that this thing is real, or that, I don't know, whatever. I just feel like for me, it's going to be a hard sell or a hard transition for me to be like, CGI is ever better than practical effects. If you really can't make something with the practical, you know, like a costume or makeup or whatever, I get it. Like Life, you haven't seen it yet, but I do want you to watch Life because I'd love your thoughts on the alien species that is in that movie, because it's all CGI.
Thanks for ruining it. I didn't know there was aliens in that movie.
It's a fucking movie. It's a movie.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God. All right. Whatever.
Okay,
It's fine.
It's called life. There's That's life. Fine.
Jon Snow dies. There you go.
You have now told me off the air and on the air that like five different people die. I believe it because everybody fucking dies in that show, but whatever. If you don't know that life means that they found some life form somewhere, okay, then you're way, you don't even know what this movie's about, but okay. Okay. So anyway, go watch that goddamn movie. But all right, so to get back to it. So the funny thing is this, we talked about watching Life before and then you couldn't get access to it, right?
Yeah.
And then we talked about, you said, okay, CGI, I'll give you a movie. And you said Alien. I was like, all right. So you're going to pick a movie that just came out, whatever. But then I couldn't get to the movies to see it. So we,
I could have said Prometheus too. I mean.
Oh, I didn't. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, I said
Alien series, like the Prometheus and Covenant. And because I had just seen it at the time.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, in any case, both of us have not seen either Life or Alien, but we definitely will. Alien Covenant. We'll definitely come back and probably do both of those. Maybe we'll do like a double episode and we'll do Life and Alien since they're both about outer space and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, for this episode, then, since I couldn't get access to the movie Alien before this episode, you told us to watch The Host. So I'm glad we did. It's a 2006 movie, and I'm glad we did because it was really good. And so
what did you think
about the CGI effects? Yeah. Okay. So I have to tell you, the very first moment that we see the monster in this movie, in The Host, where it's hanging from the bridge and it drops down, it looked so fucking stupid. And I was like, uh-oh, like, no, this is not good. But the rest of the movie, it was really good. I mean, there's parts of it where this thing is doing like acrobatics under a bridge where it like flips and turns.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
it does it many times in the movie, and that's done extremely well.
Yeah,
and it does look very believable. And I was reading a little bit because I honestly didn't do as
and
much.
And it's like 10 years old.
Like it was 2006. Yeah. So more than 10 I didn't years do old. As much research as I usually do on the movie itself because what I wanted to do was bring a little bit to this show about how much was practical or visual or just like the effects that they were using. The only thing I just quickly saw was that they were using huge buckets, I want to say, to drop into the water in order to create the splash that they needed, mm-hmm. you know, to overlay the monster on top.
Yeah.
So I don't know much about how they put the whole thing together, but I have to say, there were certain scenes up close where it looked a little ridiculous. There were certain scenes where I was like, I buy it. Like it's pretty cool looking. It was an interesting looking monster that they showed so much of it so many times. Yeah. Yet I never felt like I really could sit and like capture everything about it. Right. Like its mouth was very intricate and weird. I couldn't really tell what it was like that. I was trying to like pinball, like, does it have little arms? I don't know. It was well done.
Let's get into it. Let's get right to it.
Let's get right to it. Because
I think we want to talk about.
I think we need a little chime for let's get right to it. No, not that. That's listener mail, bitch. Anyway, we are gonna get right to it.
Yep.
So who's it by?
It's by now famous. He's famous.
He's super famous Korean, now because I'm sure everybody spent last weekend watching his newest film.
Okja. And before that, he did Snowpiercer. And then he did Mama.
Which, okay, I'm not going to lie.
Mother.
Mother.
Yeah.
Or is it The Mother? It's Mother.
By the way, the actress. Mother was actually really good. You should watch it. It's a crime thriller. Hmm. The actress that plays Mother looks like my mom.
Ooh, it was so creepy.
So, yeah, it's like it looks like my mom.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, did you say his name?
Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah. And he made this one in 2006. And I just want to quickly start by saying I found out that in 2006, which is kind of amazing because this doesn't typically happen in American horror or an American film. This being a horror film was the top grossing film of all time in South Korea, which is incredible. I don't know South Korean film probably as well as you do, but I was really shocked and amazed to see that this was the top grossing film at that movie. So like today in 2017, it still stands pretty high on the list. It's number 4 out of all top grossing films in South Korea. So what does that say?
There's not a lot of people in Korea?
No. No, but like there's something that resonated with people about this movie, or is it that it was one what's the horror scene like in South Korea? Is there a ton? Like, is this up against a ton of other?
I can't speculate because it's changed. I mean, I don't know. I left there when I was nine. I mean, so I can't.
I just figured you at least knew the cinema like you must know Korean movies a little bit more than I do.
Go to a black guy, ask him about like some politics in
Africa. Shut up. That's bullshit. You're a movie watcher. I figured you would know a little bit about other horror films from Korea.
So the Korean translation of the movie, it's pronounced Kaemul, which means the monster.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So we basically just watched two movies back to back called The Monster. Yeah. Yeah. It very much is about a monster.
Yeah.
And I think this monster has,
or creature. You know, it could be creature. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But it's certainly, and I know you, I think you hate this. Maybe you don't actually hate this. It's definitely a metaphor for many things. And that's why I think this film is really good for a lot of reasons. It was new for me. I mean, we started our podcast watching a Korean horror film, but this is
as a joke type of thing.
The Death Bell movie.
Which actually turned out okay.
I liked it, honestly.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible.
It's probably one of my favorites out of everything we've watched, right? For this podcast.
Okay.
It was good.
But
this movie, I think it might be one of the few like other Korean horror films I've watched, and it was very different.
I gave you one of the best Korean horror films.
I will watch it. I will watch it. I will watch it.
I haven't even opened it. Yeah.
I know. I'll watch it. I promise you. I'll watch it. And I also need to watch the other one that
Train to Busan.
Yeah, Train to Busan, which I think is coming off of Netflix soon or something. So I better get on it before you freak out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so. Interestingly enough, this is the thing that I went up. This was like, oh, Tracy's going to be a dick and say, all right, the orphanage was the company that did the special effects for the movie.
That's the name of the production company?
Yeah. Okay. And it was a visual effects studio in California. And it was in LA and San Francisco. But anyway, it was co-founded in 1999. They were a part of a ton of huge movies. Sin City,
So
a bunch of different movies, right? Night of the Museum, Superman Returns, Pirates of the Caribbean, Iron Man, I think is what it's saying right here. But here's when I laughed. After 10 years in business, they suspended operations indefinitely. I was like, oh, why? Is it because the future of CGI ain't going anywhere? I was all like, why'd they shut their doors? So it just says like that they announced that they closed their doors and no immediate notice was posted on the company's website. And it says, although the announcement gave no reason for the closing, bloggers attributed the closing to general economic conditions. I was like, dang.
What year?
So 10 years after they opened. So it would have been 2009.
After
2008, 2009.
Recession. Yeah.
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 So that's pretty shitty.
Yeah. It's cutthroat, right? Yeah. I've heard about production companies out in. There's so many out there, right?
Yeah, right.
So you have one failing movie, you might have to shutter the doors,
you
right?
Fucked.
For the production company.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, as we get into it, I told Minky before this, I was like, first of all, while I was watching the movie, as I typically do, I'm like referring to people as dad or granddad or aunt or uncle, because that's definitely the characters that they're very much made out to playing. And I'm going to butcher their names, so please don't be mad at me.
Fine, but at least you're trying. Like, if you know, like
I did.
You say it's okay.
Yeah, I was checking it.
I will take stabs at making fun of you, but I think it's better than just saying like avoiding it completely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was having a hard time even knowing who they were through the whole movie because they didn't use their names very often, at least in the subtitles. So I was like, wait, I never knew the grandfather's name ever the whole movie. Like, I don't think they ever called him by his name, ever.
Because you don't. Because
he was calling him dad, right? Or whatever.
Because you don't, right? You don't call him by their names. And so especially, like, in Korean language, you don't, like, it's...
Sure.
It's hard to describe.
So I'll probably just call him grandpa.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I also don't know if you know this, but let me start by saying, did you know that the event that in created the monster... It happened in real life. Like the event itself, the monster is not real, but the event. All right. So let's open the movie by me telling you this. In February of 2000, this is real. This is not the movie. Okay. In February of 2000, at a U.S. military facility located in the center of Seoul, a U.S. military civilian employee named Mr. McFarland was ordered to dispose of formaldehyde by dumping it into the sewer system that led to the Han River. Real life. Despite the objection of a South Korean subordinate, the government attempted to prosecute Mr. McFarland in court, but the U.S. military refused to hand over the custody of him to the South Korean legal system. Later, a South Korean judge convicted him in absentia. All right. The public was enraged at the government's inability to enforce its law on its own soil. So in 2005, nearly 5 years after the original incident, Mr. McFarland was finally found guilty in a court in his presence. However, he never served the actual prison sentence, and there have been no sightings of a mutant creature in the Han River yet. Okay, so basically, Bong Joon-ho, he made this movie based off of that actual true event, and that's where the movie begins, which, as I watched this, I did not know until I read that, and I was like, oh, we got to talk about that. Mm-hmm. So he clearly has a purpose in creating this movie, and we'll talk more about that more deeply.
I mean, the movie, this is a good transition, because the movie literally starts with
that scene.
Yeah, that scene, like, you know, yeah. a scientist just dumping.
A white old man scientist.
He wasn't old.
Yes, it is. It's Scott Wilson. It's the guy that plays Herschel in Walking Dead.
Yeah, but this was 2006.
He was pretty old already. I mean, he had fully white hair and stuff. But yeah, like, whatever. Just the senior white American guy telling a very young South Korean dude what to do.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible decision. It was, it was terrible to do. And so that's how the movie starts. And you're like, by the way.
It was a lot of bottles, too. It was like at least 20 bottles they were like dumping in.
P.S. Here's the amazing thing. Watching the movie without knowing that in real life, I'm like, that is so ridiculous. The director, the writer, like, that's the stupidest beginning of a movie story ever. Okay, then it happened. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's the stupid
idea. You're like, wait, it happened for real?
This happened for real.
Oh, my bad.
All right, so let's talk about it. So it
happens.
It tells us that it's the year 2000, which is when it actually happened, and we're in a mortuary. And so we see Mr. whatever his name was, the doctor, the U.S. doctor in the morgue, telling a young Mr. Kim to goes like this, Mr. Kim.
Yes.
He's like, you haven't cleaned all these formaldehyde bottles enough. They're too dusty. Look at all this dust. And he's like, you know what? They're so dusty. I want you to dump all of the formaldehyde into the Han River. And the young doctor goes, but sir, that's a terrible idea. We should never do that. And he goes, you're gonna do it. You're gonna do it now. And you're gonna do it, you know, or else basically like you'll lose your job. You know, he's like very threatening. Tortured. It was it was bad.
It was bad. Yeah.
It was kind of not the best
scene.
I
wonder if like, I don't know Bong Joon-ho's like ability to like speak English or write in English. I was like, I wonder who wrote that part, but it was bad.
It was pretty bad. Yeah. And especially because like Scott Wilson's so recognizable. So I was a little confused.
I'm sure he was like, what these lines? Who wrote these lines?
Also, I did read this too, that Bong Joon-ho sent the script to Scott Wilson because he had seen Scott Wilson's role in the movie Monster, which we joked about last time. Like, the monster and Monster are not the same. I can't even think of his role in Monster, 2003's Monster.
I've never seen it. The one with Charlize Theron?
Yeah, and Christina Ricci. Anyway, he liked him so much in that he sent him the script, and Scott Wilson was like, I'm in. So he portrays this terrible American that does this terrible thing. And essentially what Minky was saying was they show this camera moving really slowly across probably 150 formaldehyde bottles that are all dumped down the sink and drain.
What did I say, 20 earlier? Yeah, it was a lot.
It was like a ton. It was ridiculous. Then the next scene, very quick scene, 2002, we've got two fishermen.
Fast forward.
We've got two fishermen in
fishing in the Han River.
The Han River.
Yeah.
And
one gets like, he sees something.
Well, he sees something and he takes a cup and he kind of scoops it up. And so it's a very tiny cup, you know? And he goes, what is this? And you don't see it. They keep the camera really high up, like aerial view, kind of far away. And he's like, what the fuck is this, basically? And the guy's like, does that have tentacles? And he's like, wait, what are those?
It bites him, right? He bites one of them.
I think so. And it's like, ew.
And he drops the cup.
And he goes like this, ew, it's gross. And he drops it. And then, and they go like this.
It was a girl. Ew, it's gross.
He did say, he goes, ew, it's gross. And then they were like, is it a mutation? How many tails does that thing have as it swims away? Yeah. Okay, cut scene. Then we're in 2006.
One dummy, clearly one.
Huh? One tail?
Yeah. Oh. Eventually.
Is. Right. But they did say, how many tails does it have, which is funny. So in 2006 is where we're at. In the whole movie thereafter. And we start at the Han River Bridge.
It's a guy who's trying to commit suicide or
you think there's a dude and he's about to jump and commit suicide. He's got his shoes off and there's these two other guys like running towards him on the bridge, like far away. And they're screaming at him like, Mr. Yoon, don't do it. Don't do it. And so they run up to him and before he or like then you don't think he's actually going to jump. And he's looking down in the water and he's like, there's something down there. There's something really big down there. And then they're just staring down too. And they're like, they've kind of forgotten that they're trying to save him from jumping. And then he's like, look, it's swimming away. And then before you know it, Mr. Yoon jumps from the bridge to commit suicide. Too.
Yeah. He's like, have a nice fucking life to those two guys.
Yeah.
And he's just like, fuck this. I'm out.
I'm out. Yeah. Peace. Deuces, y'all. So, oh, and he calls them morons. Why? But so
that's that's when the title comes up.
Honestly, I don't even get why that scene existed.
It's for the title to come up. That monster. There's the top view of the river after he falls.
You mean the host?
The well, camera.
Yeah. All right. So then the next scene is this.
We introduced to the main characters.
The main characters and
the family park family. And
first we meet
the dad,
Gangdu. Did I do that okay?
Yeah.
Gangdu?
That's not bad.
It's all right. Good. It's probably not
Park
very
Gangdu.
Good.
Park
Gangdu.
Yeah.
Okay. So he is sleeping.
Sleeping.
At a food, like a food kiosk, like a food mart, food stand. Food stand is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Well, it's like a newsstand in New York, right?
Kind of like a newsstand, but it's a fully covered little tiny hut that's basically
has a little
on
room
the Han River.
Too.
Huh?
It's not on the Han River. It's like on the park.
The park of the Han River. Okay. And so essentially they serve food to all of the park goers that are coming and sitting on their picnic blankets. And, all right. Mm-hmm. And this guy is sleeping at the door or the window, I'm sorry, to order. And
at the register or whatever.
The register. He's totally sleeping. And his father comes and wakes him up. So you immediately get this dynamic and you know that this guy's sleeping on the job. He's got like frosted tips. Like he's got his hair like frosted tips dyed.
He's a really famous actor, by the way, that green guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then immediately we meet Gangdu's.
He's the guy from Sympathy from Mr. Vengeance.
Oh,
if you haven't seen that, you should watch that.
I have that on my watch list. Yeah. Okay. So Han Hyun-soo.
Who, the son?
No, the daughter. Hyun-soo? Hyun-soo?
I'm trying to get the name here.
Okay. Well, anyway,
Namju, right?
No.
That's the that's the aunt.
Nam Il is the aunt.
Yeah.
Namju is the uncle. You're getting ahead of us. What's the daughter's name? It's you're just gonna listen. It's Hyun-soo. Okay, great. So she comes home from school.
No.
Yes,
uncle. No. Aunt is Namju.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
I'm looking. The name you were talking, Namir, is a guy's name.
Sorry.
Park Namir. Yeah.
Okay, Namir. I'm sorry. All right, well, whatever. Say the daughter's name, though.
Hyun-soo.
Okay. Uh-huh. So Gangdu, the guy sleeping, his daughter comes home from school, and she's in her little school uniform. And I was like, does every Korean horror film have schoolgirls in their school uniforms? Is that
or
a thing?
Or just school in general.
In general. So she's in her little uniform, and she comes home. And essentially, like, the whole scene gets us to dad is kind of a deadbeat dad. All right. He runs over to say hi to her, and she's talking about, like, how bad the old phone is that she has. And, like, dad, can't you afford a better phone? This doesn't even work. Here, you take it. And also, it was a parent day, and instead of him going, uncle went. Which is Nam Il. And he was showed up drunk, she says. So it's like, what the heck is going on with this family, right? And she's pretty much just, like, walking, you know, at a brisk pace, and he literally, like, it's like slapstick. He falls at some point. He's like ridiculous, and it's almost as if she's like grown out of like, she's a little girl. She's how old? Maybe 10, 11?
No. Yeah, like 12, 13.
I'd say like 11, 12. And so she's like more mature than he is what we're getting to. And So much so that they go into the mart, and Gangdu and his daughter go into the back little teeny tiny area to watch television because there's clearly something that they're very excited to watch. And he's like sneaking snacks that he has stolen from his own store to hide behind something. And he's like eating it and he's sharing it with her. And then he opens two beers and gives her one. which is hilarious to me.
Right. But before that, the important thing you missed, that he's been collecting change. And, yeah. Well, to buy her a new phone.
And
yeah.
She looks at it and she's like, these are dimes. Yeah, there's a penny in here. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with it? What kind of phone are you trying to get me down? And he's like,
there's some quarters in here somewhere.
There's some quarters in here. Yeah. So he's just like, he's not making any money. He's not even showing up on Parents' Day. We're painting a picture of a dad who doesn't really know how to be a father. So in any case, he hands her a beer, which is ridiculous. And they're watching an archery competition, like an Olympic,
Olympic qualifying event.
Yeah. And we come to find out that who they're watching is Gangdu's sister and Hyunsu's, aunt. Okay. Yep. Which is Namju.
Yep.
And so she's
the girl that was in, the Matrix movie, Cloud.
Oh, Atlas?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, the grandfather or Gangdu's dad, he comes in and he's like, hey, get out here. And we saw it happen before, but essentially at some point Gangdu was delivering food to one of the couples on a picnic blanket, and he was delivering squid that he was cooking on the grill, and he ate one of the tentacles off the squid before he delivered it. So his father comes in, he's like, I need to speak to you outside. So he leaves his daughter in the little room and he goes, did you eat a tentacle? Because people know how many tentacles are on the squid, and you just ate like one of their pieces of food, and you need to go take these free beers to them to go make up. Like, I don't want our little food mart to have a bad name. So
you understand the way he talks to him in Korean. It's like, it's so good. It's so natural. Like,
really?
Yeah. He's a good actor. His grandfather. Mm-hmm. He's also in Okja.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I really got to see that. So essentially he walks out, he doesn't care. He doesn't even want to do this. I think we see him almost look at the free beers as an opportunity to steal them for himself, to drink them on his own. He takes one and I think he puts in his pocket.
He's just
a doofus.
Yeah, doofus. Total doofus. Almost like he's like missing a screw.
Completely.
Right?
Yeah. And so he's walking out, and then
And the grandfather treats him that way too.
Yes, a little bit, but lovingly.
Yeah.
And so when Gangdu walks over with the free beer, and he's about to give it to the two people sitting on the picnic blanket, and there's a bunch of people around.
Distracted. Everyone's distracted.
Everyone's staring off.
Yeah.
And he looks over and they're all like, everyone goes, what is that? Like, what is that? Is that like a pile of something? Like, what is that? And so this is the scene I'm talking about. This is when we're already introduced this early into the monster.
I mean, it happens minutes
into the movie.
Right in.
So there's something huge hanging from the bridge and it's not moving. So you don't know if it's like a net full of something hanging
from the
bridge.
Like.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it just kind of lets go and it drops, and a huge splash happens. And they're like, what was that? So they all walk closer to the bridge, and Gangdu included, and he has these beers. And they can see a dark movement. This thing is coming closer to the shore, or whatever you want to call it, where they're standing. And Gangdu takes one of the beers and throws it into the water. And they're just all these people in mass are standing around. And this creature takes its tail. You see just this little bit of a tail. And it goes whoop. And it takes this beer can.
Yeah.
Takes it. And then they're all laughing. And they're like,
oh. He's eating it.
And then
everyone starts to throw shit into
everybody.
The river.
Like trash galore.
Like a kid would do.
Like bread with birds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're all wanting to see it do something else. Well, it doesn't.
It goes away.
Yeah,
it goes away. Well, temporarily.
Temporarily. Just for a moment. And then I think at this point, we probably just,
just before you go, I love the pacing of this scene because I think a lot of Western films at this point, you won't see the monster. Like once it goes away, like you expect not to see it for like another 20 minutes for other scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this thing shows
fast.
Up.
Yeah, really fast.
Yeah.
So, and just so you know, now Grandpa and Hyunsu are in the little mart back room watching the archery competition. And we see that Namju, the aunt, takes her shot and she fails. And so then they're really let down.
She
and they're getting crazy. Like they're like cheering for her cheering for her.
Yeah.
And then she
gets a bronze medal.
She gets a bronze medal. Yeah. So she drops the ball, essentially.
Yeah.
And just something that. I'll say now, you're hearing us talk about a dad who has not met the standards as being a good father. We've already been introduced to the fact that an uncle showed up to Parents' Day drunk, and now we have an aunt.
It's an
who,
odd family.
Well, no, it's so what I was I'm I'm just going to say, like, I read this, but it's very clear now that I read it, that it's painting the picture of how difficult it is to, you know, be seen as very successful or whatever in this culture, right? And so that Bong Joon-ho was like showing how this entire family, they're not all like terrible human beings, no. but they're all operating under standards, right? Like they're not meeting their potential.
But you know what's funny about that is for some, maybe it's different for me because, you know, the Koreans or whatever, but there's this, I can relate. Like there's parts of this odd family mm-hmm. that you go, oh, like I would totally do that, or I would totally act like that, or it's like, oh, I want to be in that family. They're all fucked up. But they're so they love each other, right?
Well, so, yeah, and we don't see them do that yet. We don't see them love each other yet. But
well,
yeah,
but they show their love in different. Every family shows them in different ways, right?
Yeah.
It's like where they're like my, you know, the sister's head. Her brother upside the head, even though she loves him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that type of thing.
Yeah. But, you know, and I think culturally what he's trying to say is, like, it's so hard to be, you know, because later when we meet the uncle, we see that he was a college graduate, but he's done nothing with his college degree, mm-hmm. and he's seen as such a failure and all of this stuff. So, anyway, we go back to Gangdu, and he is now, he's handed the beer to the guy, and he goes, I'm so sorry for eating the squid tentacle. Take this beer. enjoy
he's
it.
Distracted.
And now he stops talking and he's staring straight down. Basically, okay, so imagine the river and imagine the like a park, like green grass, and imagine bleachers behind the green grass, right? So it's like a people can sit and look at the river. Gangdu is standing right on the
edge of it.
The edge of the river, and he's talking to the guy where the mass of people are still looking in the water. Gangdu looks down to his right, and his face just looks like, "Uh-oh, what is coming?"
He's looking past everybody. Yeah, because he's seeing something down the a few blocks down.
And this scene was fucking like crazy. I was like, "Wow, this is happening really fast." So the monster is not just a sea creature; it can operate off land or on land as well. And you see this thing like a fucking linebacker, running back, I don't know what football.
And he's knocking everybody down.
He's knocking everybody down. And this thing into is enormous. Water. How big would you say?
Like 2 horses, 3 horses length.
Oh, I think it's probably three. It's huge. It's huge. It's like the size of an elephant, but like all
it's longer.
Kind of vertical, right?
It's longer, yeah.
And it's just coming straight towards Gangdu, like where he's at, and it's just plowing people over. And his eyes are huge. And this actor's characteristics and mannerisms of his facial expressions, in the grandfather too, like there's nobody that could have beat them, I think, in these scenes. Like their facial expressions were amazing, and his eyes were so big.
What's so great about this scene, and that that sort of stands out from other monster films, is that other monster films, you see monster attacking their victim in a very like, you know, a small area, or like where they're alone or dark, whatever it is, right? But it goes to show you sort of the confidence of the director and the storyteller and then effects artist. Like they show this in a broad daylight, like 20 minutes into the film, with
not even
pandemonium,
total pandemonium,
and it's knocking people over. It's actually comical, right? Because like it's knocking people over. It goes into that one like,
oh my god,
like bathroom.
So all these people like run into a little trailer, and then they leave this one bitch out, and she's like screaming, beating on the door. And she's like, "How could you leave me?" And then all of a sudden, the monster comes up. She bolts out of the way, and it gets in and eats everybody inside. And so she's spared her life.
It goes in.
And it's like it's okay. So basically, what we're seeing is complete and utter chaos. It's taking people by his mouth, and it's flinging them like, I mean,
and
hundreds of yards.
Yeah, and you get clear view of the monster.
And there's blood. It is, it's hell on earth. And no one is safe. And everyone is going crazy because this is a very
like a
public
disaster
space.
Disaster film.
Completely.
Almost, right, yeah.
And Gangdu, this is the very interesting thing about this character, right? Like, he's portrayed as such a, like you
doofus,
said, a screw-loose doofus. Yeah. But he is one person of a couple that is running towards
this monster. The white guy.
There's one white dude and him that are running towards this monster the entire scene.
They both have blonde tips.
blonde tips. Yeah. And he's like, he's trying to save people.
Yeah.
He really, really is. Like, yeah. at every turn. I mean, he's wherever this thing is going, and it's covering a lot of ground, by the way.
Yeah,
he's
is.
Like sprinting to go. Yeah. And he's not just like going to be a voyeur and see what's happening. I mean, he's literally like picking up signs, like signposts, and he's running
throwing
up and
bricks.
Stabbing at it,
yeah,
throwing bricks at it. He's trying everything he can to save people's lives. So it's kind of amazing that we see his potential early on in this film, right? And so this scene goes on for a while. Lots of people die. No one is saved. Men, women, children. And then we break for a moment to see Hyun-su after they see the aunt lose. She walks out of the trailer and she sees one lonesome beer, the same beer that her and her father were sharing a moment ago, kind of spraying. And she looks out and she sees all of these empty picnic
oblivious
blankets.
Oblivious to what happened,
and
right?
And nobody
around.
Because the
TV was loud or whatever.
Right, and she's like, what? And she's staring. And then all of a sudden, it's like the chaos kind of hits her too, right?
It's I love that because the sound effects on this one is like, you're her, right? You
yeah.
don't really hear what's going
like
on. No.
Quiet. Did
yeah, it's
quiet.
And it gets like louder
and then
louder.
It all happens.
Yeah.
Hits her. And what's
it's, cool.
it's not a jump scare, but it's a very...
It's and it's out of focus too.
Right.
And then he's...
But then
father.
All of a sudden her father runs and grabs,
grabs
her hand
her.
And they just start running.
This part's awesome.
And so I say like...
And he's like holding onto her arm, running
yeah,
with her.
Totally.
And he trips and falls.
Oh my God. This scene
face.
Is crazy. And I called it. I called it. So remember, she's got a little schoolgirl uniform on, right? And you see the camera goes to like his arm grabbing her again after he falls, grabbing her arm. And he stands back up and he's running really fast and he covers some ground. And the camera goes really slowly over to the girl next to him. And it's not his daughter.
It's someone else.
And this could be funny,
yeah.
but it's really, really not funny.
Yeah.
Because then...
Well, it's funny and it's like...
It's
yeah,
sobering.
It's touching.
It's like
and not touching, but it's horrible. Yeah, it's sobering, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, as soon as we find out it's a different girl that he has, you know, grabbed and he's
but
running like
but
that.
But it's believable, right?
It is totally
for some
believable.
Reason. Like in that chaos.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You
like,
lose your family,
yeah.
right? So anyway, the real father of this young girl like grabs her and kind of gives Gangdu a look like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah, get off my daughter.
Yeah.
And then he takes off. Gangdu is like then petrified, turns around, spots her, sees Hyun-su like
a few yards down. Yeah.
A few yards down. And she's like,
getting
standing
up,
back up,
slowly.
Brushing herself off, and in blur to
in the
focus
background, which
behind
is awesome,
her
yeah.
is coming straight towards her.
This big monster.
The huge monster.
Yeah.
And he's just scared
he
like shit. I mean,
he snags her with his tail.
Yeah.
And jumps
right
does. Into the water. Yeah. Jumps right into the water.
And, well, and he, well, first of all, he's running, spinning her in the air, jumps into the water,
yeah.
swims. Okay. The river is not actually that wide. I don't know I don't know lengths very well, but
it's pretty wide.
He swims across it pretty fast, and you're like, oh shit, she's underwater. And Gangdu like runs to the river edge, jumps in the water so awkwardly, like feet like running into and just like running onto
desperate.
Water.
Desperately, yeah.
Absolutely desperate.
Yeah.
He can't swim. So he's screaming her name and he's about to drown. And this thing has taken her across the river and it's actually jumped back out of the river though. And you can see
on the other side.
You can see that he had a couple humans in his mouth.
He
that
he's like fat guy in his mouth.
He had like
I think.
Two dudes in his mouth
oh,
that he
two,
dropped
okay.
out. He has her by the tail still.
Regurgitates him out.
Regurgitates yeah. these guys, but then he like eats them whole, and then he kind of runs off scene, and you can't really see. But I mean, I was
you
like,
you can tell he's like he's saving.
I was like,
them.
He ate her.
He's saving.
I thought
them.
He ate
yeah,
her.
Okay.
But like, I thought she was totally gone, and then.
Yeah.
This is just a really sad scene, but Gangdu just like loses his mind and he just saw his daughter die pretty much. So he is now in the mart. He's back in the food mart and he's 100% like he's gone.
Blank, yeah.
You know, he's totally blank.
Even more so.
And the evacuation has begun. And what I mean by the evacuation is the military has come in and they're telling everybody near the Han River that they have to leave the city.
Investigate, yeah. Because they're going to investigate, yeah.
Right. And everyone is supposed to evacuate and go to this like safe auditorium kind of gym thing. So it happens pretty quick. He goes, we're all in this auditorium and it has all the pictures of all the dead up already. Like they all like in a line. Frames upon frames of humans that have died. And Minky and I, we really didn't talk about this film too much beforehand, but we were talking about this scene because this scene is such a standout scene to me and a standout moment for like so many reasons. But I can't think of another movie So I was like, is this a thing in Korean culture or is it a thing in Korean film where you take a 100% like saddest moment ever where people are grieving the loss?
Especially when the aunt comes
Oh my God.
And she's like
100% sad. Like here. All these people. So essentially you've got Gangdu and you've got the grandfather there. And then one by one you meet auntie Namju and then you meet uncle Nam-il and mm-hmm. they come in and they are all distraught as ever, but it turns into this very weird comedic moment where they are like
fighting with each other
without saying words. They're hitting each other. The aunt kicks her brother and she's like, the uncle,
where the hell were you?
Starts pushing them and he's like, you grabbed another girl's hand.
You grabbed another girl.
Like, this is all
and
your
And he
fault.
Shows up drunk too. He's like drinking
he's
soju.
He's got a bottle in his hand. Yeah, soju in his hand. And
at first, like, he comes up and they're all crying and then the grandfather goes, look what you did. Your life has brought
Gunsu,
the family
you brought together.
Brought us together. And it's like, you know, they're like genuinely like crying.
All of them.
Yeah, yeah, all of them.
But then they're like rolling around on the floor. All of them. Like rolling around on the floor. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I can't even tell you how ridiculous it is. And I was like, Jeff and I go, oh my God, I'm like really sad. Because Jeff was, he was popping in and out.
Okay.
But that scene, he was there, he's like, this is insane. I go, I've never seen anything like this. I was like, I wonder if this is a thing in movies. So I did read a little bit about that, but just like the injecting a little bit of this like satire and, you know,
Bong Joon-ho does it really well.
Really well.
And I've seen it in other films as well. And you'll see it in The Wailing as well.
Okay. Got it.
A little bit of it in The Wailing.
All right.
It's amazing in The Wailing.
Okay, cool. So anyway, when we meet Auntie Namju, she brings in her bronze medal. She sets it on Hyun-soo's picture. Then as they're all screaming and crying after this, the paparazzi. Right. So it's like all these cameras start taking photos.
And then he gets all pissed. He's like, get the fuck out of here. He goes,
Why are you taking photos of us?
Yeah. Stop taking pictures.
And where did they come from, by the way? Because then they were gone just like that. But
just, and then like as they're doing this, some guy goes, it's like it's a Hyundai car with the license plate 24.
Right. It's like it just kept getting weirder to me. I was like, what?
And then this
and
lady,
she goes like this, oh my God, it's my car.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like she comes out, this one strange lady just comes out from the left side of the frame. And she's like,
oh my God.
And he's like, you're not supposed to park there. And it's like the camera is still focused
on
the
family
in the center of the camera. And this scene, the sound, it's happening in the back of the camera.
Like,
it's
what?
Hilarious.
Yeah,
it's
like
so
what
good.
Is that all about? Yeah. I really don't know. But so anyway, after that, okay, so as we opened with Gangdu sleeping at the food mart, like at the stand, you know, at the window, he's asleep again, just like that. Like scene cuts, and he's totally dead asleep.
You can tell time's passed.
Time has passed a little bit. But
his father,
you know, grandpa's saying, basically, you start to get a little bit more of the story that Hyun-soo's mom left, I guess, after she gave birth soon after.
After she gave birth, yeah.
And that he goes, look, it's all come full circle. Hyun-soo's birth and death were both an accident. And, you know, basically he's saying how he's kind of excusing Gangdu for not being a great dad and how he was kind of set up with like a shitty situation. And then he starts talking a little bit about, I don't know if this is foreshadowing or what. It is foreshadowing. It's totally foreshadowing. But he's saying that many older people say this, that any animal that kills a child should be torn limb to limb. And he's like, you guys have to remember Gangdu just lived through the horror of losing a child. So like cut him a little bit of slack. And, you know, his other siblings then at this point, they're kind of listening to their dad tell them like to cut their brother a little bit of slack because, of course, they were blaming him for his daughter's death. So,
that happens after like,
it's all while he's sleeping in the auditorium
and the uncle's kicking him.
Yeah. Right. And then the uncle kicks him, wakes him up and he's like scratching his balls in his pants, like with his hand
down
his pants.
He's like, are you sleeping at a time like this? How can you sleep?
How can you sleep at a time like this?
And he like kicks him and he starts scratching.
It is so bizarre. So then this guy in a hazmat suit comes in. So now you're like, oh, is there some kind of what's going on? Why are there guys in biohazard suits? And this guy comes in and he's like, hey, and he's so not official or anything, which is also silly. It just adds to the silliness. He's like, raise your hand if you were there today. And some people started raising their hand and some people were very you know, kind of resistant to doing so. Gongdu is still asleep at the time. He starts coming to at this moment, and he's like, what? And they're like, yeah, like I said, if you were there or if you touched the monster or got any of its blood on you, please also definitely raise your hand. So he starts to kind of do so.
With his shoes. He has a shoe.
He has a shoe and he holds it up, right?
I didn't touch it, but
I got its blood all over my face. Yeah. But I think his father is telling him, shh, like, don't
shut up,
like, shut your face. Like, don't say anything. Right.
Shh. No, you shut your face, Tracy. And that is in the part one. I know what you're thinking. Hey, why is there two parts? These dummies can't get it together and make one long episode. It's a long story. But bottom line, it's Tracy's fault. Yeah, right? So if you guys could do me a favor, meet me on part two, which is the episode right above this one, we'll continue the party. All right? Meet me over there.